You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andrew Crackle. Here's Paula Bandy with the pilot for a new segment on local wines and wineries.
You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Paula Bandy. We're here celebrating Women's History Month, and today we will highlight the role of women in the wine industry. Joining me in the studio is Rachel Martin, founder and winemaker of Red Little Leaf Vineyards. She represents growing generations of women shaping the future, not only of Oregon wine, but a global movement. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're going to begin with a photo shoot where Rachel and I reconnected. We had met before, but then we reconnected at this incredible photo shoot for a Women in Wine article. And it was done in September of 2022. Gathered were 10 women during harvest. It was incredible that we were able to get these people to come together during harvest. And we met at Red Lily on a perfectly autumn day. Each of these women were influencers in their own right. I know that Rachel has a lot to say about it because it was at Red Lily, and it was a very special day for all of us.
That was such a special day. I remember being very reflective that day because that picture, to me, encapsulated a lot of different emotions. First of all, if you would have asked me back in 2000, when I was first getting started in the wine industry, if I could have ever envisioned myself in a picture that was a lineup of women leaders in the wine industry, I don't know if I could have envisioned myself being amongst that group. In addition to that, I feel like back 25 years ago, it might have been difficult to find 10 women in the wine industry. So I think that that's one of the many special things about that photograph. It really shows the movement for women in the wine industry, in our community, really.
And we had an incredible group of women there. The youngest was 8 months old, and the oldest was 89 years old. And Trouty Moore was there. She was the 89-year-old. She's one of the pioneers of this area. She has now passed. But represented was every decade in between, 8 months and 89 years. And it was just so extraordinary. And we took several pictures, and everybody was just so collaborative. And I know, Rachel, you've talked about how collaborative women are, how entwined women are in this area, and how much you enjoy working with women.
Yes, I think that picture, when I was placed for that picture next to Trouty Moore, I just felt so humbled and honored to be in that group of women. And, you know, like you said, that age range, there was a new mom there all the way up to Trouty, who was 89 at the time. And there's so much camaraderie and sharing of ideas in that group. I mean, those are the people that are my mentors, my friends. They are the people I will text at 5 a.m. first, because I know they'll all be awake, and just to discuss what's going well and what's a disaster in the winery at any given point. So it's to be a part of a group like that, I just feel like it's something really special.
Well, and you were lucky too, because you actually had a female winemaker as a mentor.
Yes.
In your original days, just as you had planted Red Lily. And talk a little bit about that. She was a legendary winemaker in this area.
So to have the great opportunity to get to apprentice under Sarah Powell was extraordinary. I think for women, especially in a male-dominated field, if you can find a mentor, somebody that you can see that is successful, then you can see that success for yourself, the possibility. And I remember watching her and learning from her and thinking, if she can do this, then maybe I've got a shot at it too. She spent so much time with me back in the harvest of 2002 at Roxanne Winery, just teaching me the viticulture aspect, the winemaking aspect, how to become a critical taster in the cellar. And I couldn't have understood the real gift she was giving to me at that time, because I was, you know, I was a rookie. It was my first harvest. And when you have the responsibility of being the head winemaker during harvest, I mean, harvest is hard. It is long hours. You're tired. You're cranky. You're eating food on the fly, you know. And for her to spend that much time with me as a mentor was such an extraordinary experience. And I often feel like there would be no Rachel without Sarah Powell. I truly believe that.
Well, let's go back even further, because your before that time was even more interesting. You were raised in the Rogue Valley.
Yes.
But you had left and yes. had taken a completely different career turn.
Yes. I had gone to school and studied criminal law, which is not a direct path to winemaking. Let's say that. But I had the opportunity to come back to the Rogue Valley in 2000, and I was trying to think about how to reinvent myself and what I was going to do. And the piece of property that we had found was an organic basil farm. And so it really set the wheels turning about, you know, a role in agriculture in some way. And it was just in that time in early 2000 was really when a lot of vineyards were going into the ground here in our valley.
You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Paula Bandy. Today I'm speaking with Rachel Martin about women shaping the wine industry. We're talking about how they had purchased an organic basil farm. Eventually you moved on from that farm to the property that you're on now.
Yes.
Which is quite an extraordinary property. It's along the Applegate River. There was a beach. And you started growing a very different type of variety of grape.
Yes. So we did a lot of research on what varieties would grow well. And if you're living in the Rogue Valley, it's a lot of different varieties that would grow well because we are so lucky with our growing region here. But one of the varieties that was well suited was Tempranillo. And, you know, I love Tempranillo. I love those big Spanish wines that kind of rip your head off. I mean, that's my jam. And so when that was proposed as one of the varieties that would do well, and at that time, back in, you know, early 2000s, it was really a niche grape. Abicella was doing it and doing it very well. And so the idea of doing something that was a little bit different was really appealing. So that's really what started us down the whole Tempranillo road.
And you were able to get Greg Jones, I believe, to help kind of guide you along with that too.
Yes.
So
Greg Jones was instrumental in our journey. Just so many people were instrumental to getting me where I am today. I think that this industry and our valley is especially good at lifting people up and helping them, mentoring them. And I don't know if we have enough time in this segment for me to list all of the people that have gotten me to where I am today.
Well, we know there's a lot of collaboration going on between winemakers here. And Greg Jones has been an incredible influence because of his world-renowned knowledge, as well as he is the son and now he's the CEO of Abicella.
Yes.
You also moved on. You talk about the jam, right? Mm-hmm. Perfect for Tempranillo.
Yes.
The jammies, the the flavors, the incredible spices of Tempranillo. But you moved on and you also have different Spanish varieties as well as some Portuguese that go along with that.
I do. And that's been a really fun journey to have a little bit of variety in the lineup of the brand. So I do some Touriga, I do some Tintacao, mix in a little Tempranillo. Whenever I taste something in the cellar, I say, what is this missing? And I think, it needs a little Tempranillo. But we definitely have tried to stay Spanish-centric in what we're doing. But I'll tell you, it's sometimes difficult if somebody, a grower, says, hey, I have a little bit of extra Cab Franc. Do you want to play around with it? And my answer is usually yes.
Well, it goes well with Tempranillo.
Yes.
And you work with some other women out in the Applegate as well who are grape growers. They were there at this Women in Wine photo shoot that we had, and they are lovely people. Virginia Oaxaca and her niece, Elise.
Yes.
And I know you've purchased quite a bit of Tintacao from them, or was it Tariga?
I purchased Tariga from them, and it's extraordinary to work with them. I feel like Virginia, who is 82, I'm probably her biggest fan. I just feel like she is just such a dynamo. We should all be so lucky to be 82 and be having a vineyard and growing Tariga. She is a very inspiring person to me.
Didn't she buy it when she was 70?
Yes.
She moved up here from Southern California and she purchased it when she was 70 years old.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. It's a great story from Virginia. And you're working now with an all-woman crew, I think.
I am. And you know, that wasn't the intent when I set out, but I have a strong tribe of women. And I always feel like, give me a group of middle-aged women and we're going to figure it out. So I feel really lucky. Our team, many of which have been with Red Lily since the beginning, are a strong-knit, close group.
I know. You've talked about this before. I've heard you to say this before. And it's interesting because there is a global movement now. There are more women in the wine industry than there ever has been. And I'm just wondering why you think that is. What is it that women bring to the wine industry? And I have to just put something in here that I have a bumper sticker that I've had for several years. And it's from the Patricia Green Winery. Mm-hmm. And it says, women taste better. People always laugh about this, but there have been studies that have been done that show that women actually do have some kind of an extraordinary special palate for wine tasting. Not that they're better than men, but maybe they just overall have a little more flavoring to their genetics.
Right.
But can you just talk a little bit about how you think, you know, why are women so important in the wine industry?
Well, I think women have a lot of superpowers, right? But I think that I always hate it when there's the saying that men are better at this or women are better than this, because, and I'm sensitive to that because, you know, I started off in a very male-dominated industry. So I think that both men and women are bringing different attributes to the industry and to their roles in wine. I think that women, yeah, I've heard that they're super tasters. I like that. I think that there's different challenges for women in a winemaking role. For example, I'll speak about myself personally. I know that I've had to be creative in overcoming different obstacles with strength. So, like, if you brought in my colleagues, Eric Weisinger or Rob Follin, and we were to arm wrestle, well, I'm going to lose every time, right?
Right.
So if you come into my winery, you'll see an elaborate system of pulleys and different things to compensate for, you know, lack of upper body strength, if you will. So I think that that kind of out-of-the-box thinking is always good for an industry.
So how do you place yourself as a winemaker in the Applegate Valley and the Rogue Valley, AVA, and even within all of Oregon?
Well, after 25 years of doing it, I feel like I'm hitting my stride. I feel like I have a lot of tools in the toolbox. I feel so much gratitude for being a part of this industry. And I feel just appreciation for people that have helped me find my way and just wanting to do that for other young people in our industry.
I know you've worked with your daughter and you've also worked with some artists for labels.
Yes.
So you have been a mentor to many people on your own in ways, kind of a give back.
Yeah, trying to do that with every turn.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today. Thank you, Rachel, for coming on the show today. And we've been speaking with Rachel Martin from Red Lily Vineyards up in the Applegate Valley. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. My name is Paula Bandy. You can find this and other conversations at jeffexchange.org on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.